Dear brothers and sisters, the subject before us today is way to love. There are hundreds of books have been written on love. But actually what love is not in this life. Do you know what love is? Can you express in words? No?
In the heart, it can be read in the heart.
Can it be described in words, I mean? The subject is very delicate. Even then everybody knows what love is. It cannot be expressed in words. So as the scriptures say, love is innate in our souls. Because God is love, and we are of the same essence as that of God. So naturally, we are a drop of the ocean of all love, and it is innate in our own soul, and the same, enough it is that the way back to God is also love. Whatever we do, any worship or anything, a remembrance of God, what is the purpose that is behind? We should develop love for God. Love is something dragging of the heart. It is, and it comes from where? It is first He who loves us. Our love is only reciprocal. Child is born. Mother loves her child. Caresses her, you see? And then the child begins to love mother. Is it not so? So until the whom we love, He does not love us. How can He love me? So that's why I submitted that is a very delicate subject, though everybody knows, feels, is that for someone here or hereafter, you see, whom he has seen or whom he has not seen, in both cases, he feels, but he cannot describe. So all masters who came in the past, who have come so far, they bring the religion of love. They don't bring any new religion. They come to give love to the world, I say now. Because God is manifesting them. In us also God is there, but not manifested yet. That power is the controlling power within us. So, the masters, they are word made flesh. So they are overflowing with the love of God, and wherever they go, they radiate love. So, it is He who drags us to Him. This is what it is said of Christ. It is He who loves us. Our love is only the people. So all masters who have been coming so far have, first thing, they say there is God, and next step they say where God is love. We want to meet God. What is the way back to God? This is true love. All practices, all other outer performances, penances, sweet memories, that's all are done with a view to develop love for Him. So two things are there. One who comes, he gives us love, and we also reciprocate. So Mata come, they give us love. They radiate with love, they are overflowing with love, and always advise that love is within you. You can have infection of love from the one who is overflowing with love. So what is the way back to love? That how to have it? That's the point to teach you. Guru Amar Das tells us, in man body alone we can know God and also love God. How can we love God when we have not seen Him? When I have seen somebody, enjoyed His presence, enjoyed His company, only then love it comes up within us. It is there, it is the boost. And what they do, they give love by radiation. So Guru Amar Das tells us that if, as you have got the man body and you have not got love for God, then it is, you have not desired the full benefit of the man body. It cannot be, you see, had from the shops outside. It cannot be grown in fields. It is within you, of course, but it is quite boot by someone who is overflowing with love. What they say, as I told you, they are world made flesh. They are God in man, man God. So they are love personified and they radiate love. Their words are charged with love. So they say, you see, Christ said, love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And what else he said? God lies in every heart. We are of the same essence as that of God, both. So if we love God, naturally we should also love our neighbor all around us. Love to whom? To God, in man, and in all creation. Love, man, animals are also, birds are also there, reptiles are also there, the younger members of the family of God. They are all our neighbors, is it not? So, he said, you love everyone, in God's eyes. So this is almost all Kabir says the same thing. Whenever they come, they bring the same message. He says, address it to mind, oh mind, love thy God. Don't miss it, but don't forget it. It is the time of man body that you got, you see. The main thing is to love God. And this is the golden opportunity which we have got already. If it passes away, then God knows when we will get there in this man body and love God, you see. The time is flying, Krishna says. Don't be led away by the outer enjoyment and possession. So it is love only, you see, which is, should have been contacted with all love within us. It is contacted with the all world around us. We are, God resides in every one of us, but how many we who are residing in God? That we can reside only when we love him. So whether just see whether you are developing love for God or for the world. This is the point to be seen. Pleasure. If you are developing love for God, what will be the result? Man goes where he is attached. If we are developing love for the world, love to world, then we will go where? We will come again and again and again. So it is only direction of the love that we have to see. If you can dwell in man body, if you got love for God, then solve it. If not, so God gave us the man body, the highest down creation, whom the angels also bow down, who is considered to the head of all other family members of God. So whenever they come, they say, well, Guru Arjuna says, oh my body, these people address to tell us, show us what we should do. Addressing, he says, oh my body, what have you been doing ever since you got this man body? This will be a high time to love God. You, what have you been doing? Have you been doing love for God or for the world? Your death in lies, he says, oh eyes, what have you been doing ever since you got this, the gift of the power of sight? It's the God who gave us that sight to our eyes. Then, one says, look to no one except God. If you look to anybody else, look the God in them. Your God is right in them. They are the children of light, children of God. So they say, God is light. And leading us to, I have given to you the sight power, or mirtu was given to you to see God everywhere, outside and inside. He says, he lies in you in the form of light. And outside also it is all manifestation of God, who is love. And also, he is directing everybody, man, animal, bird. Again, they conduct it to his ears. God has given the power of addition over ears. Hear nothing else but the divine truth, music, which is reverberating in all creation, not the outer something. So they are blessing himself, one way or the other, to tell us what should we do. Man body was given to us what for? The highest aim is to know God. Have we known God? Have we got love for God? If you have got love for God, have you made any preparation to heaven? What preparation have you done? So Guru Amar Das says, thousands of woe be to you, O man, if you have not, you are not developing love for God. Thousands, not one. Instead, you are developing love for the world, so much so that you are forgetting God altogether. We should have done something in the love of God, we should have forgotten all world. We have done quite diametrically opposite. In the love of the world, we have forgotten God. This is the angle of being what the Master always present before us. Just have contact, what is the way to love them? He says, just have contact with the overflowing Master, who is overflowing with the love of God, and there is no other way. It is not grown in fields, it is not sold at the shops. It is within you what is to be overflown, boosted, if you come in contact with somebody who is overflowing now. That is why it is said if you spend an hour in the master, the effect that you have is more than even if you have put in 100 years some fantasy you could not have. You go to some who sells perfumes, you go to him, if he does not give you anything, you get perfume all free with him by radiation. And if you give one bottle of perfume, then sense love, that is, he gives you a quantity within you, jaw love, it is something like that. It is something where you put flowers in a room, the whole room is perfumed, is it not? If you enter the room, you will have smell, perfume. So, to develop love, the way to love, to develop love is the company of those who are overflowing with love. And who can be? You know, God in many ways. God. We have got also love in it, in our soul. Because we are of the same essence as that of God. But that can be given a boosted way up by some. In the company of somebody who radiates love. And when you go to him, you have the perfume all free, and he gives you a little bottle also to enjoy when you go, and that what is that? That the initiation gives some contact with the world within you. You enjoy whenever you like. So all masters, one and all, you will find the same sense. Tenth guru, Gobind Singh Sahib. He addresses all people, look here, all men are alike. The same God whom we worship is called by different names, in different languages. And what he said, he addressing to all communities, he said, hear ye all, I tell you the truth, what? That love is the way back to God. Where from you can get love, you got in it, but later, not well. So the only source, way in which you can develop your love, have a boost is the company of the saints, who are overflowing your love, really. Only by attendance in the personal aura, as a field of action, of their radiation, you will get free. He would sit quiet, mute, dumb, and receptive. So sometimes silence gives out what you say, something to free of by radiation. This is what is said. One third of the teachings of the master is given by word of mouth, and two thirds by radiation. To go a master is an order, you understand one third what he says, but if you dwell receptivity, then you will have two thirds more, which are now we are deprived of if you have got no love or devotion for the master. So love beautifies everything. Further, what they say, the same thing as Christ said, love thy neighbor as thyself. God desires in every heart. The soul residing in all other bodies also in the same essence as that of God. We are all brothers and sisters in God. So, Tenth Guru also says, look here, God resides in all of you, in all the world. Don't torment them, because it is God's, and God resides in there. If you do, what will happen? He won't suffer. You are tormenting him, he will punish you. See? So all Master and Parasant, by love, serve one another. To serve others is all right, but by love. Love knows no return, my love. Love knows giving and giving and giving. Kabir says, the word they in Punjabi, it means to give. And also it means this man body. He says, so long as you are in the man body, give, give and give. If you give, the more you give, the more you have. Today, I sent one who served with Solomon, love God, really love God. And this is what I say, what you find in scriptures also. If you, whom you see, you do not love, how can you, whom you do not see, can love him? You see, you love God, you are not in God. But in whom he resides in every heart, you don't hate them, then how can you say you love God? So love knows giving, you see. And who is the best? What is best prayer? Samuel Taylor tells us he prays best who loveth best. Pray without love, what is all that, you see? It's all bad. The words are all bad. If they are drenched with the water of love, then that will radiate it to God, to all creation. Saint John, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. Very clear word. For God is love. So go ahead and say, all they think of him, speak of him, Here is his wife in every heart, reverberating in all every heart. The divine music can be absorbed in it. Such a man radiates love. Unknowingly. And the other, diametrically opposite, what we are doing, we are developing love for the world, for the attachments. Result is yours. You do have, we enjoy the world today too. You know when our soul has in it, love our soul. When we are attached with somebody, maybe anything, man or something, so long as we are attached with that thing, we identify ourselves with that, our love with you within us, you feel love for him? So, all masters tell us, if you love God, don't torment him. The saint called by name, Freed, he says, if you want to meet God, don't torment anyone, heart of anyone. Not in word, but in deed. The thoughts are very, deed also, in thought also. Thoughts are very potent. If you think an evil of anybody, that will radiate it, the very thought will evoke in it. And you have love for somebody, he need not speak to you for radiation. You're attached to it. Don't do it. Why many people, you see, are drawn to the Master? Because Master loves them. It is Parvati who loves us. Mother loves the child. First, they will not. So you see, we are the limbs. Take the example of man body. So many limbs are there. Arm, feet, everything. If any arm or any limb is aching, other arms cannot be addressed. They are also painful. They are restless. And until the other limb which is aching is cured, is it not? So we are all limbs of God, limbs of God in man too. If one man is suffering, the other must suffer. He cannot be at peace. So this is the mind which is placed before us by masters who have come. How can we dwell? What love gives us? Love knows suffering and sacrifice. If need be, man is one who had submitted, I think yesterday, day before, is one who is of use towards us. If we love God, naturally God is that in every other heart, in all the animals and everybody must have dwelt for that. Other man is no man. Otherwise it is like animal who loves the children and himself. So we are the conscious entity. All is our evolution of all consciousness or of all love. So we have, everybody wants to love somebody and to be loved by somebody. So what is the best way in the world to love? We love others. The result is, he gives love in return. Sometimes we are losers, sometimes gainers. So Kabir says, if you love, have a game with God, game of love with God, how will it stand? You won him, he's yours, and you are defeated, you are him. In both is your gainer. Isn't that? So strife, love with God, are the God in man. God we do not see, but God in man we do see. Once it so happened, in Satsang, some man stood up. He said, he was devotee of the master, he said, you say you want to see God? He stood up. I'll show each one of you. He says, they're wondering what is it? Here, stand. He happened to the master sitting there. Hello, our master. So those who have dwelt love in them by Nandrao, a very fond lover of the Guru, the one poem of Hafid. He says, if you want to meet God, what you should do, go to the, leave all hearts and home and go to the wilderness. There, remember him, love him. And in return, what Bhai Nandalal said, look here, oh Hafid, where are you going? Here the God standing. Where will you go? So if you take the God with you, all that you do, who desires in your hearts, in you when you initiate, why not love is there? So love knows service and sacrifice. This is what I mean to say. Masters come here to join all in the silken bonds of love. Guru Arjan, you will find what he did. He compiled as many things on the masters as he could lay hands on in one book, which is a scripture called Guru Granth Sahib. Those who are in whom God manifested, they were sent by God to guide the child humanity, whether in the east or the west, wherever it is. He compiled all the sayings in one book. Whereas you will find the sayings of one particular master, you always find in their book alone. It is not finding them in the children's bundles of all humanity.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording that was just played was the first half of a talk called Way to Love, given by Master on October 28, 1972 in Chicago. Our reader this morning is Christine Clevenger. Hello, Christine.
Hello, David, and good morning to everyone. I will continue reading Think of Death from the June 1969 Satsandesh. We dwell in the body and are not the body itself. In other words, we are an ensouled entity. Soul is essentially divine. We are all children of God. These have been the teachings of all enlightened souls. We should not take the language of the scriptures literally, but should try to follow the spirit of what is stated. One may spend one's lifetime in the study of the Vedas or scriptures. Of course, it is not a child's play. For one thing, it is really difficult to acquire mastery over Sanskrit, the language of the Vedas. One will have to exert a lot to learn it. Secondly, even if you master all the scriptures, you would arrive at the same conclusion. The physical world is unreal and the spirit is real. We should search for reality. The Vedas proclaim, O Lord, lead us from untruth to truth and from darkness to light. We may state this reality in any language. It would not make any difference. What is required is that we should proceed towards truth, discriminate right from wrong, and adopt the former. This would help us in achieving our goal. Whatever is mentioned in the scriptures is primarily a revelation of the various aspects of human body which we possess. This is the greatest Veda, Granth, Quran, or Bible in which we are dwelling. Unless we make an exhaustive study of this book, the body, all other knowledge is of no avail. All evolved souls exhort us to tap inside and focus our attention between and behind the two eyebrows. Further, they tell us to seek the association of a master soul. Great souls actually traverse in the cave of human body. It is not necessary that we should exclusively depend on scriptural knowledge for the practical spiritual experiences. This can be accomplished easily and quickly under the guidance of some adept in the science of spirituality. Our main object is the practical achievement of what is recorded in religious books. Swamiji therefore emphasizes that in reality we are a spirit clothed by the body. This body is our first companion when we come into the world. All our earthly relations are because of this body, developed after its advent. At the time of death, this clayey mold is left behind, and all worldly possessions cease to have any significance. Now, tell me as to who is your true friend among all these. Saints have given the following answer. They are our real friends in whose company we may develop right understanding. The very sight of them should dispel the veil of ignorance cast upon us. We treat the unreal as real. This is called ignorance, but when we meet an enlightened soul, he removes the veil of darkness and thus enables us to distinguish between real and unreal. Such persons alone are fit to be called as true companions. They are very, very rare, but the world is not without one. As the physical body does not accompany us, we require the association of one who may abide by us at all times, both here and in the hereafter. Who can be such a one? Obviously, God alone. He is the soul of our soul. He is our life principle. We live, move, and have our very being in him. Other than God, such persons in whom he is manifest are our everlasting friends. They are verily a human pole on which the power of God works. Wherever a disciple may be, on the snow-capped mountains, in the depths of oceans, in trackless jungles, or on burning sands, the Master ever remains with him to guide him at every step, for that is his eternal promise. And again, when one leaves the body at the time of death, or withdraws his sensory currents to the seat of the soul, the radiant form of the Master appears to escort the soul into the beyond. One who possesses this competency is called a guru. He is not the physical body. Kabir goes to the extent of saying, those who take the Master on the human level will have to go in the lower forms of creation. This is a great deception engulfing the entire world. Truly speaking, the term guru is not an appellation of any person. It signifies and stands for the God power manifestly working on a chosen human pole. In the Gurbani we have, God speaks through a human frame. Without such a frame, how can he speak? Again, says Nanak, O Lalo, I simply speak out what God makes me speak. Such a one alone is called a sadhu, saint, or mahatma. We are all embodied spirits. Man alone can be the teacher of man. As such, God power must adopt some human pole in order to contact us at our level. Only a manifested God in man can direct our attention Godwards. On the physical plane, he acts as a teacher or a guru and gives spiritual instructions to the aspirants. He says, neither you are a body nor am I. Let us leave the body and rise above it. There you would find him in his luminous form. He alone is a true preceptor. He is a never-failing friend, both here and hereafter. God himself dwells in God-man, although the latter may look like a human being. The words share, tiger, and sheer, milk, may have identical appearance, but possess quite different meaning. The word share, S-H-E-R, and sheer, S-H-E-E-R, are written in the same way in Urdu, but vastly different in sense. The former stands for a wild beast, while the latter connotes a thing which gives strength and stamina. Likewise, there is a world of difference between an ordinary person and a God-man. The Master Soul is word made flesh. He can transcend the physical body at will and can traverse into higher spiritual realms. In the garb of a man, he is, in reality, much more than what he seems to be. He is a sadhu, a disciplined soul, or satguru, master of truth. Unless one contacts such a saint, real spiritual advancement is impossible. The God power is manifested in the form remembered by an aspirant. The nameless has many names. He doth attend by whatever name he is addressed. Thus, there is no distinction between a realized soul and God. When placed in fire, an iron ball assumes the very form of fire. Similarly, master souls are verily one with God, but come down into the material world at his behest to fulfill his divine purpose. Enlightened souls who have experienced reality within are rare indeed, maybe one in millions, but the rest who claim this status and pose and act as real masters not only deceive themselves, but misguide people. It is because of such imposters that guruship is being looked down upon. But here the word guru is not being used for false teachers who deceive simple-minded seekers after truth. Their teachings are confined to aparavidya. They neither have above-body experiences themselves, nor can they help others. We are least concerned with such fake masters. Nowadays, the words sadhu and sant have been defamed so much that people have lost all faith even in genuine masters. Let us leave aside these words and replace them by more appropriate ones. But the fact remains that the guidance of an adept, well-versed in the science and art of spirituality, is indispensable for those who want to make progress. There is no other way out. He should be able to give a first-hand inner experience to the aspiring souls, however little it may be. The great souls have stressed that worldly relations are of ephemeral nature. None is your real friend. We are a living soul, but are identified with the body, which would not accompany us. Then what is the significance of bodily relations? Real friend is he who stands by us through thick and thin. He can either be God or a saint. It is therefore said, O Nanak, snap all ephemeral ties of worldly relations and find the company of a true saint. The former shall break away in this very life, while the latter shall abide with thee even after death. The great teacher emphasizes that we should sever all our earthly connections and search for the eternal friendship of some enlightened soul. The friends and relations do not stand by us in all the vicissitudes of life. Some of them desert us in poverty and indigence, some in prolonged illness and disease, and yet some in adversity and misfortune. At best, a few of them may help you to the funeral pyre, and that is all. Even the most sincere stand by as silent spectators when one struggles for life but ultimately loses the battle against death. As such, you should seek the spiritual guidance of one who may reveal to you the mysteries of the beyond and give out-of-body experience which one normally gets at the time of death. Further, He should abide with us when we shake off this mortal coil. This is the definition of a true saint. But alas, nowadays the term given is being used for those who believe in external posing and are able to deliver sermons or preach scriptural texts. My master used to say that bookish knowledge is all wilderness, no way out. This is the condition of the world. Poor and innocent people are being exploited by the so-called gurus for their own ends. One who revels at the plane of senses is sure to fail. Spirituality is not a subject of verbal talk. This is a practical subject beyond the grasp of intellect and thinking. Leave off all lip service and be the doer of the word. Then alone you would enjoy the quintessence of true knowledge. It is a question of leading a well-disciplined and regulated life. When people suffer worst experiences at the hands of false teachers, they say, it is all gurudom. This does not mean that one should abandon his search for a perfect master. Without him, the goal cannot be reached. We bestow all our love on the world and all that is of the world, wife and children, friends and relations, riches and possessions. All these worldly objects are subject to death and decay. They betray us sometime or the other. As such, we should not idle away our precious moments in their company. The expression of enlightened souls is always frank and fearless. Swamiji, a great teacher, calls all relations as cheats because they rob us of our valuable human life. Cheats are soft-spoken. You only come to know when they have played their trick and deprived you of your belongings. Then it is too late. The worldly delusion starts from the body. Having been identified with the fleshy mold, we take it as something eternal. All our life, we are engaged in the care and maintenance of the body. Is it not a deception? So are bodily relations. Suppose a man steals something from your house. No doubt you have suffered a loss, but at least in person you are safe. Again, suppose another individual comes and takes away your clothes. Although you are left without clothes, you remain safe. Likewise, let us assume that a third man comes, hits you, and fractures a limb, but you survive. Your body may have been hurt, but at least your life has been saved. And yet another comes and captures your very attention or soul. Is not he your worst enemy? A child at play would naturally attract the attention of those around him. All material attractions are dangerous and prove a stumbling block on the path Godward. Appearances are deceptive because they keep our attention diverted in a wrong direction. Truly speaking, we were to unite our soul with God, but alas, are getting lost in the mundane things. These worldly charms may be compared to broad daylight decoys, which keep us far removed from reality. You can imagine the plight of those who are sleeping among them. Just as a father is moved by the pitiable condition of his son and advises him out of sheer compassion, similar is the case with our Heavenly Father. He assumes the garb of a saint and awakens the sleeping humanity out of the deep slumber. Then he tells us that every moment of our precious human birth is being wasted in the transitory charms of the world. We should safeguard ourselves from this grand illusion. None is our foremost companion in this world. Everyone shall forsake us in due course of time. This swan soul will depart alone. Here, a question arises as to what preparation have we made for the last journey. This is a subject which is before all social orders and religions. Seek the association of an evolved soul who is a human being like us but has attained godhood. You may call him what you like. Call him a man of intuition who may open your inner eye. Then there would be no question of any deception. Even if the aspirant is illiterate, he would get inner perception. In Peshawar, now in Pakistan, there was one Baba Bhoj Singh. He was a truly devoted soul. He was once asked to explain the difference between saying and doing. He replied, saying is kena, which while doing is karna. In Punjabi, the word kena stands for a contagious disease. One who develops this always feels a scratching sensation on the body and feels relieved by scratching. As the sick person rubs himself, the disease goes on intensifying till it covers the whole body. Similarly, mere talking and professing without practicing is of no avail and leads us nowhere. The word karna, K-A-R-N-A, means an orange flower which spreads its fragrance far and wide. Identical is the condition of those who engage themselves in regular spiritual practices. What a brief exposition in two words. But a learned man would explain the same in an elaborate way. We are only concerned with the kernel and not the shell. Christ said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Again, let my words abide in you, and you abide in me. Expressions may differ, but the sense is the same. In the association of a God-man or a man of realization, you would experience that the physical body is a mere casement. By constant practice, when you transcend the fleshy mold, as a matter of routine, you can see the cosmic order from the level of the spirit. This is our goal. Self-realization precedes God-realization. Having experienced godhood, and after tasting divine elixir, you will live in the world and yet be out of it. Swamiji says, in satsang, sit with receptivity and loving devotion. Then the master would dye you in the fast color of Nam. Great souls have always invited our attention toward vital things of life. They have endeavored to explain the axiomatic truths through examples. Know ye, O friend, that the world creation is wholly unreal. O Nanak, it is unstable like a sand wall. By unreal is meant what is not eternal and hence impermanent. Whatever we see around is just like a sand wall having a very short life. It crumbles as soon as water dries up. It is said, world is a mere dream and a juggler's play. this magic show with no reality lasts only for a while. Open thy eyes and see that nowhere is thy brother or friend. Some are ready to depart while others would follow. Everyone has to quit in his own turn. Again, it is said, kings, subjects, householders, divines, and incarnations come and go. Likewise, each one of us has to depart one day or the other. Great personalities appear on the world scene and then vanish forever. None could stay for an indefinite period. Enlightened souls like Guru Nanak, Hazrat Muhammad, and Lord Krishna took up human garb and abandoned it. There is no exception to this rule, so we must know about the thing that disappears from the body. That is our own self. Awakened souls have always stressed this point. Knowing that the fleshy mold is not everlasting, what should we do? Let us see what Guru Arjan says. He said, "We are so much engrossed with perishable things that we have forgotten even the Creator. Whom should we love when all are to part with? Every one of us is attached to the ephemeral things of the world. God is immortal. We have ignored Him. The entire world is subject to death and decay. The physical body is a heap of dust. It is said, dust thou art, and unto dust returneth. One day we will be separated from the mortal frame. In such a predicament, what must we do? We are building houses on sandy foundations. We are sailing in paper boats, which is the body. We have to understand this. He who has understood that life on the earth plane is short-lived and has to pack up one day would not tell lies, cheat anyone, slander, or think ill of others. But alas, we never for a moment think about death. We do not see the world in its true colors. That is why we treat it as something real and eternal. So long as we are trapped by worldly delusion and blind infatuation, this mirage cannot disappear. Maya means delusion. Having been identified with the body, we forgot our real self and also the overself. Body is the root cause of all delusions. When we see our fellow beings from the body level, attachment is natural. The moment our inner eye opens, self-awareness would dawn upon us. Then this tabernacle of flesh would appear to be a heap of dust. It is quite surprising that we see the changing panorama of life with our own eyes and yet do not believe. Like an oily surface where water does not stick, our hearts have become so much saturated with the glamour of the external world that no amount of jnana or knowledge produces any effect. We read and never go deep into the meaning. All great souls have given a clarion call, O man, thou have to depart. Does it appeal to us? We have been completely dyed in the color of the world, so much so that even the heart-rending appeals of enlightened souls prove futile. In such a condition, self-awakening is the only alternative. The Vedas state, awake, arise, and stop not till the goal is reached. Guru Arjan, in this context, says, "Awake thou, O traveler, on the way. All saints have virtually said the same thing. We are not concerned with the expressions, but should concentrate on the essence of the subject. Hence the exhortation, attend ye the satsang with loving devotion. By the term satsang, we understand any lecture or discourse on the scriptures, generally a tall talk. This is a misnomer. Awakened souls do not call such discourse or congregation a satsang. They have defined it as, no congregation can be called a satsang unless it is presided over by a master saint. And here I will end this reading. I read from Master's talk called Think of Death, which can be found in the June 1969 Sat Sandesh, and it will be continued at my next reading. Thank you, gracious Master.
And thank you, Christine, for reading for us. There were 82 people at this morning's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for attending, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
Be not deluded, as we are now. We think perhaps this is the only place. This we will live here forever, but nobody has lived here forever. This is a golden opportunity we have got to find our way back to God.